This is Ozarks at Large. The circus carries a certain air of intrigue and mystery. Acrobats, wild animals, and clowns in makeup. But the circus in Aaron Morgenstern's best-selling novel, Night Circus, goes well beyond all of that. In fact, there are no clowns or animals at this circus. Instead, tents that include worlds of ice and clouds. Tents that appear out of nowhere, then disappear just as quickly. The circus is actually a backdrop for a mysterious battle between two mysterious men and their protégés. More Alice's Wonderland or Oz than the greatest show on earth, Night Circus establishes a multi-layered realm that never quite lets the reader on to where it's headed. Aaron Morgenstern is with me on the phone. Aaron, welcome to Ozarks at Large.
Thank you very much for having me.
This is a fantasy land that you have set up quite unlike any other. When did you first get the idea for this story?
The idea came about almost by accident. I was working on a different book. I'm not much of an outliner when I write. I don't really plan that much, which sometimes works and sometimes doesn't. And I was working on a story, and it was going nowhere. It was boring me very much, so I needed something exciting to happen. And out of that boredom and desperation, I sent my characters to the circus. And the circus was immediately much more interesting, so I actually ended up abandoning the original story and instead focusing on this circus that had just appeared in my head and trying to figure out who created it and who performed in it and what its story was. And that's where the whole book developed from.
Well, you say you're not much of an outliner, but surely you had to have something going on as you're creating this book, because it's told in nonlinear fiction. You have to pay very close attention to the dates at the beginning of each chapter. You have so many different characters. It's on two different continents. Surely you were keeping track as you were writing this, because there are a lot of details.
I am a very good reviser. So I start with all of this just free-form stuff, and it took me a long time to really find the story. I had a lot of plotless circus stuff without much of an actual structure to it, and it's actually when I started giving the book more structure as I was going through and revising it that it really started to fall into place. It was almost like I had all the jigsaw puzzle pieces, but it was just a matter of getting them in the right places and the right sequences.
The as I mentioned in the introduction, the battle is, there is a battle, a competition, a sort of event between these two men who we don't know much about as this story is unfolding, because you have to cover a lot of territory before we get to the circus. How did you develop their stories?
Their stories kind of came about almost easily. It's kind of funny to say, but I had circus, I had a lot of the characters, and they were there from the beginning, and I was kind of trying to figure out what they were up to, and then it became the question of, well, how long have they been up to it? And it all sort of fell into place a little bit when I was came about with the competition angle and made the whole circus into a game of chess. And I liked the idea that the players were being manipulated by something outside that was not involved. Like that, the idea of the puppetry with someone above pulling the strings.
I want to call these two mysterious men who launch this game of chess magicians, but there's so much more than that. In fact, when we first meet one of them, he has what amounts to a vaudeville show. He's performing on stages in the United States and Europe. And he has to, because he's so powerful, he has to draw back and make people think he's not quite as powerful as he is. He has to make them think that what they're seeing is fake and not real. It's an interesting concept.
I liked that idea that if you could do real magic, how, like, if you could just do it, how would people react to it? And I think you need to have that little bit of doubt to really play it as an audience. Someone's always looking for how it's done. And if you completely baffle someone, it's almost like they can't comprehend it and you lose the entertainment value. It has to be an entertainment where people think they know what's going on. Even if they maybe don't know exactly how it was done, they think they're still watching a trick.
Well, you kind of had to walk, my opinion, the same sort of tightrope, because there's so many fantastic things in this story. Did you ever think about, well, I can't go this far if I want to keep the reader's suspension of disbelief where I need it to be as a reader?
I think a little bit. I was kind of doing the same juggling act myself, with thinking like how much magic is still believable. Because I did want to maintain that idea that maybe people would think that the circus could show up in their own backyard and have it have that believability. And I like magic and fantasy that feels real. I'm not really a dragons and far-off castles sort of fantasy. I like the fantasy that seems like it's possible and real and the tactile sort of fantasy. But I did think there were a few things that I did. I questioned how much people would go along for the ride, but I think in the end I found a fairly good balance.
When this circus is happening, people are going in, there are all these different tents that are being created by these proteges. You could just let your imagination run wild what these two people could create.
It's true. And actually, I invented a lot of the tents before the story had a plot. So I kind of created the contents of each tent. And then it was fun for me to divide out, well, who had created what and who which acts that I'd already had fit with which character. And it was one of the reasons why my favorite tent is the Labyrinth, because it was the one tent that I was able to make a collaborative performance between both characters.
Right. And it's not really fair to call, it is called a circus and it's a carnival, but it's almost for the people who go a completely different dimension.
It is. I think it, the way I like to describe it is it should feel like walking into a dream.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the kind of feel it should have. Like you're in some place entirely separate from the world, and that's the feeling it should have, where you're in a space where like anything is possible.
You know, I may be overthinking this, but it struck me that the night circus that appears in people's cities or in fields outside their cities almost overnight and then just disappears quickly too, it almost felt as if that could be a metaphor for falling in love or a crush, because all of a sudden it's there, you can't get enough of it, you're just, it's beyond anything you can think of, and then just almost as quickly, boom, it's gone.
Oh, I like that. I hadn't thought about it that way before, but I do like that. I think there's a lot of metaphors to be found in different aspects of the circus, from the way it travels and appears and disappears, or even just the structure of it where it's cyclical and lots of little individual experiences all circling back to the same midpoint. But yeah, I like that a lot, and I think that it suits itself. I added the love story aspect very late in the revisions. It wasn't there when I first started writing, and I felt like that when I went for that Romeo and Juliet sort of feel is when the whole thing started to come together.
First published novel, it is not a novel that you can really accurately put into a paragraph-long synopsis because there's so much going on. It's nonlinear, and yet an overwhelming literary success. Did that surprise you?
Hugely surprised, especially because I spent so much time rewriting and revising and trying to make it book-shaped. I never really thought forward that much to even, I just wanted to get it published. I wasn't even thinking as far as what the response would be. I thought maybe there would be some people who would connect with it and be enthused about it, but I never expected the level of response that it's gotten.
You know, be it Twilight, be it Hunger Games, be it George R.R. Martin, everyone thinks that if something is somewhat fantastic, somewhat otherworldly or supernatural, it must be part of a series. But I've read interviews with you. You're adamant. This is it. For
nope,
this, you're writing something next that's completely different.
I am. I never intended it to be a series, and I don't want to try to make it something that it's not. And I like the way it ends. I don't have a whole lot of interest in what happens next as an immediate sequel. I think that aspect of it is better left up to the reader's imagination. I wouldn't be opposed at all to revisiting the world of the circus and maybe doing a collection of short pieces, exploring certain characters' backstories, maybe doing little tangential bits in tents you didn't see in this one. But it's not meant to be a series. It doesn't feel like it should be a series, so I'm not going to try to make it into one.
Finally, always your idea to tell the story in a nonlinear fashion?
It was. It was actually originally more nonlinear than the final version. And the final version is, it's not quite nonlinear. It's two overlapping timelines.
Mm.
But I always did want to play with that aspect of time because I wanted to do the story. I wanted the story to feel like the circus, which is part of the reason it's told in short vignette-like chapters. Like I wanted, because the circus itself is a lot of different tents with different things. I wanted the book itself to have the same sort of feel.
The name of the book is The Night Circus. It is now out in paperback. It is written by Erin Morgenstern. She also has a website, which is?
erinmorgenstern.com.
Easy enough to remember. Erin Morgenstern, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.